Good morning, everybody. It's David here. Ready to roll. Looking at some light posts right now as I'm walking. And some really cool mosaic art as I'm walking through this neighborhood. It's 8:15 on Monday morning, April 13th. Also known as the day we start to get results from Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to seeing what we find out there. The kind of acts of courage that people engaged in to vote. And also just to see where that state came down on the Supreme Court decision, the state Supreme Court, not decision, but election there. Right now it's beautiful sunny morning, about 42, 43 degrees, which is chilly. But still gorgeous with the sun out. Looking forward to having Charles call in here in a second. Man, what's going on? I'm doing a podcast right now, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, how you doing? I give you a huge. I didn't know you lived up this way, man.
Yeah, I'm just on like 5 blocks that way.
Totally. I do long walks every morning.
Oh my God, this is great.
I know. It's good to see. Are you on your way into work? No, you're working home, of course. I know. Everybody just works from home, right? Yeah. Hey, Charles.
I noticed your walk. I was like, that walk looks familiar to me.
Yeah, you know,
I
kind of do a big loop. Charles, hang on. I'm talking to somebody I used to work with at the UW. I do a big loop, and it's like a hour and a half or something.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you live?
Yeah, I live about a half mile that way over by the View Ridge Park and PCC. That's over there.
This is great podcast material. Keep
going. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just so out of it.
Totally. I'm actually in the middle of a live recording right now. But let me text you. We'll catch up and we'll do a little walk together, like 6 feet apart.
Let's keep talking, man.
Okay. All right, man. Good to see you, Virgil. Yeah. I thought it was you as I was walking up.
You know, all right, we could have just done the episode with him.
We totally could have. Yeah.
Just put it on speaker and then you could have held your arm out.
I don't know how to do that with the
I was joking. I was joking. Don't do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what are you going to do when you see somebody you haven't seen in like 9 months, right? And you're like, oh, man, I'm doing a podcast right now.
Yeah. You sound like the weird guy. You're the weird one.
Right. That's one of the weird, the awkward things about doing calls and podcasts when I'm out walking. Because people, I'll run into people I know, like that guy, who a tremendous person, Virgil. He's one of our academic advisors in the Department of Communication. I'll run into him, people will be like, hey, and they'll want to chat, and I'll be like, I'm on the phone or I'm doing a podcast or something. And you can't.
I bet people are like, you know, David, he just, he's so awkward. He can't tell me he doesn't want to talk to me. He makes up these excuses. Like he's on the phone. No one's on the phone that early in the morning. And then he's at this new podcast excuse, so that he could not talk to me for longer.
Yeah. Well, I do that in Congress where the members of Congress will be going down the hallway and they won't want to talk to the press. And they'll be like, hey, I'm on the phone. And they'll hold the phone up to their ear. So journalists have started to look to see if like the phone appears to be on.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, that's right. I think I've seen a video of that where like the older guys, like they think they're getting away with it and they're not.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Wow, that was cool to see them. But again, it's one of those moments where I'd love to chat with you, but I'm doing a live podcast, and they're like, uh-huh, sure, sure. Like, who do you think you are doing a podcast?
He kept talking. Yeah, sure, David, sure.
Yeah. Hey, man, good morning.
Okay, so, good morning. Good, good Easter Monday. Is that a thing?
Apparently it is, yeah.
I think it's a thing, man. I had both of the grandmothers decide that they were coronavirus free.
Okay, all right.
And decide to come up from Tacoma.
Wow. Separately. That's like a new class of medical treatment right there. They decided? That's solid.
Yeah, they did. They said that they didn't have coronavirus, and they demanded to see their granddaughters on Easter, which is, it just becomes a cultural thing where you just, you can't say no to them.
Sure.
Not on Easter, man. Not on like a super Catholic holiday. Filipinos are big Catholics. Super Catholic holiday, and it's one where children are supposed to like dress up and look really nice and presentable and pretty for their older, the enjoyment of the older members of the family. They knew this, and they leveraged the full holiday to come up and see her.
So did you as a family, this is our first thing, by the way, on our three things. This is the first thing, because I like it. What's did you all get like nicely dressed up as if you were going to go to church services or out to eat or something?
No. I don't do that anymore. I wore a hoodie. And some basketball shorts.
Solid. Okay.
I didn't get all dolled up. I thought it was absurd, but my daughter did wear a floral dress.
Oh.
And it was beautiful, and she had a little bow in her hair. It was too much. It was entirely too much, and everybody loved it.
Yeah, do you like when my wife and I were going through, I don't know, mid 20s to like early 40s, which is the prime having kids, window for people. Whenever people would have kids, and we had two boys, you've had two boys until September.
Yeah.
The kind of clothes that you would buy in advance of the child arriving would be, five things for like a boy. All right. And then the people who are going to have girls, they would both buy and receive like 75 outfits. All right. That would be a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So do you have like a bunch of really, really cute things?
Totally. We've got every like practical piece of clothing that a baby should have, like a onesie, and then the other, the jumpers and all that stuff. And then we have the completely impractical, I bought it just because, or somebody bought it, not me, but we bought it just because it looked like what a woman would wear. Dresses, maxi dress. I mean, what's a maxi dress, man? I don't know what that is.
I don't know, man.
She had a maxi dress on for half the day, and then she changed outfits halfway through the day. She's got skirts. She's got two dozen bows that she wears on her head. I mean, it's a lot. She's been waiting her entire life for this. She's loving it.
Sure. If you have some photos from yesterday, which I'm sure you do, because I know you, then, there's some certain people in my home that would like to see them.
All right. Yes. It's coming. Larcy pulled out this like white fur rug blanket thing and had her like posing on it. It was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, cool. So was it a dinner thing too? I mean, was there like a big meal?
No, there wasn't. But what we did do, and this is my sister's idea, is so my dad couldn't come up. He's got health complications, and he has to stay. Mm. He's at risk, so he's at home. But we bought IHOP, which, as you know, does not sell organic food. So it's not something I normally partake in. And we ordered it. We ordered off the menu, and then we ordered something for them off the menu. And then we had them, we surprised them in the morning and had my mom pick it up, and we picked it up.
And then we all hopped on FaceTime and we had Easter breakfast together from my
house. Oh, that's nice. What'd you go for yourself?
That's one of his favorite places to go.
Oh, okay.
French toast, because I had to be as fancy as possible in IHOP.
So that's really cool. I didn't even haven't even thought about like bigger restaurants doing the takeout like that. Okay, sure.
So okay, so this is thing number two. But thing number three, I actually have also.
Okay, well, wait a second then. Okay, before we go to thing two, which is restaurants, all right, I want to tell you my Easter story too, okay?
Okay, so, yeah, please.
So yesterday I got up and woke up early and beautiful day and went for a walk, and I really felt like I wanted to kind of listen to a kind of an Easter church service. So I scrolled online, and these things are listed. Good morning. These things are listed everywhere on the internet,
he's
right?
Like live. He's doing a podcast.
I talk to you. So I listened to the one from the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., which is this really famous cathedral. It's where there's always like head of state funerals and memorial services. So it was in English and Spanish, and it was just really cool. Okay. And the guy who was the minister there, the head minister, had given this really incredible address, I don't know, like a year ago or something, that went viral. I don't think it was 3 months ago. I think it was 14 months ago or 15, on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it was, his name was Michael Bruce Curry. And so he was really good. But then just the singing, and it just felt comforting. It felt good. So then after that.
Sure.
After that, came home and I started to do some work. Surprise, surprise. And Lisa said, you know, you don't need to work on every day. And I'm like, what if I want to? She's like, no, come on, we'll do something, family game time. I'm like, okay, great. So we played the game of life. Right, there are so many problematic messages in the game of life, but nonetheless.
I know, it's horrible. We played it again for the first time in a long time. I was like, this is really bad.
Go ahead. Yeah, there are. Yeah, like, you know, the blue and the pink, and then there's the whole goal is to make as much money as possible, right? And
The way that we kids play in the things in like stereotypical way.
Yeah, yeah, and there's lawsuits all the way through, and I think we hit like every lawsuit, so we're suing each other all the time. But I just want you to know that like late in the game I was behind, and we hit somebody landed on a spin to win, which is where everybody can put money on a certain number. It's like the roulette wheel. Like you get to pick a number, put money on it, and if you get it, you get 10 times what. You put money down on. So the max you could put down was 50 grand. And so I put down 50 grand and my number came up. All right. So I got $500,000 from that spin to win. And I ended up winning by $20,000.
Wow. Wow. Started behind.
Came right.
Behind for the win.
Right. So then I sat everybody down and I did a little talk about the meaning of life based upon the never giving up and never quitting. Okay. And
he's the moment. Even when all hope is gone, you know what you do? You double down with $50,000. That's what
you do. Exactly. No, they would never have listened to me at that moment.
Of course. Yeah, they didn't want to talk to you anymore after that. Come back from the win, from behind. That's good. That's really good. That's cool. So did you get dressed up though to play life or?
No. I, you know, you feel kind of guilty enjoying certain portions of this whole terrible experience, but I one of the things I definitely do find pleasure in is just the Well, I don't know. It's probably no change of clothing for me from my usual, but nonetheless, it's the wearing the shorts and the kind of sweater every day. It's just solid.
I gotta say, it's very comfortable for me, but I am hating it. I'm hating it.
Okay.
Do you understand how useless my collection of shoes are right now? There is nowhere to wear them, practically. There is no one to see them. I can't form any really cool outfits. This is it's a major issue right now. I'm just trying to meditate a lot to get through that part.
I know. Well, I talked to, you know, Maria and our team, Maria Bando. We talked a couple times a week about work. Get on the phone, and then we're on calls with supporters, and she's a highly social person, just like you are. And she's like, "I'm going crazy." I'm like, "Wow, yeah." Because meanwhile, I'm over here. I'm thinking, man, there's other lectures I can do. I can think about some more stuff. Okay, or like strategy building a database yesterday for early in-person voting. So all that kind of stuff is just like, to me, is feeds the soul.
Yeah, I need human beings, man. I definitely, I'm like withering. I'm withering away. I had a call with my Wisconsin team yesterday, which should transition us to
cool.
The next point was restaurants, but I don't know. We'll just throw that one out. We'll throw that one
out. Okay, sure.
Some other time. So I want to transition us to the next one, which is actually something that was offered up by one of my Wisconsin team members. But we were on a call yesterday, and it was just like really, it was really cool to see everybody. It feels good to see folks that that you know and you care about, see their faces.
Totally, it does. Things are going, it really does.
Right? Yeah. All the calls are, you know, you don't just get to work right away. Everyone's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And it's late at night. Some people are drinking wine and stuff, and we're all commiserating, and but it's good. It's really it's a high point of a day. We were planning. We were in a planning call for our call tomorrow with the Wisconsin team. The folks who are going to travel, actually, we're going to have a small, it's going to be like 60 people call tomorrow to talk through the small relative to the rest of the team Wisconsin. But we're going to talk about the results of the election. And so we were just getting prepared for that. We're gonna introduce everybody, and we're gonna talk through, you know, not just how horrible it was, but what the plan is for the rest of the year, or the short term at least. This big May special election.
Sure.
But, Janet.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, Maria. Maria's on the. She's listening right now, and she. She is throwing a bunch of sad faces and laugh faces into the chat here. Maria, sure. We see you. So you're going to ask something, and then I was going to jump into this article.
Oh, well, it wasn't relevant. I didn't know if you were going to take this to a certain point for this one. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to, they offered up this article, which has Wisconsin as a part of it. But this is the second thing, I think. And, you know, as we looked at to offer up things that give us hope and energize us for the three things. So the first one is Easter and family and David winning. the second one, I think, is vote by mail. And it's driven by this article in The Atlantic, and you've probably already read it or heard of it already. Came out.
Brownstein. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But it's a, you know, people have already read this, but we needed to say this. If you haven't already said it on a podcast that I haven't heard, have you already mentioned this article?
I have not. Nope.
Okay. This is a really big article because I didn't know about this until now, but I think it's totally worth reading. And it's about mail-in ballots, and it's the fact that And I'll just read this first paragraph. All six of the swing states that both sides see as the most probable tipping points allow their residents to vote by mail for any reason. And there's virtually yep. no chance that any of them will retrench their existing laws this year. That means that however much Trump rages, the legal structure is in place for a mail-in ballot, mail-in voting surge in those decisive states. Florida, North Carolina, and Arizona and the Sun Belt, and Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin and the Rust Belt. I think that we've talked to people a lot about the national election, and we've talked to them about voters. And people talk all about, you know, these states that you're not going to change the minds of some people and the 30% that are going to go for Trump no matter what. And we, you and I have always, we steered people actually away from that thinking and towards the voters in specific states. Those are the folks that actually can, their minds can be changed. Or let's just think about them. And this mail-in balloting, open and available in those six states is a huge deal.
It is. I want to just pick up on that because there's a lot of things that are really positive in that underneath that lie underneath the surface of that reality that you just articulated. Good morning. The six states that you just mentioned. So I was point one, Michigan changed their law after 2018. We helped them to change that law in 2018 when we worked with voters, not politicians, to pass a reform set of voting initiatives statewide. That new absentee law is now in place because of that, because of work that we helped do. In Pennsylvania, the governor passed and signed this into being a new absentee ballot provision. Never been there for Pennsylvania before, just signed it into law after 2018, we helped that governor to be reelected and get that done. In Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who's the Secretary of State Election Commissioner, a staunch Democrat, it was an upset for her to win in Arizona. We helped that to come about because we were there fighting for Kyrsten Sinema and the Democrats, as she has been strongly fighting for to make sure that they're ready for absentee ballot in a bigger way this year. So in all those three cases, we have been long game, long-term part of the process. Yeah. When you add over that Virginia yesterday, at 11:50, like 8 p.m. on Saturday night, signed into law a whole slew of voter reforms, including absentee ballot provisions for their balloting and early in-person voting. We were there for that, obviously, in 2019 to help the legislature flip that then passed that. We've now been in existence long enough where we're seeing the outcomes of getting really important, high-integrity, election-focused, voting-focused people elected, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and those are three of the states. We are also in Florida and North Carolina and Wisconsin. Florida and Wisconsin, we've been to every year.
Yeah,
we've done work for the state for every year, and even though we haven't been to Wisconsin in 2020, we did phone calling in our in close cooperation with the Wisconsin Dems. We did actually go to Florida again this year, so that's 3 years.
And North Carolina,
Florida. And North Carolina, that's right. That's right. So those states you've been going to for 3 years.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. The article is a tremendous summary. And this is going to be something that I'm going to talk about. So I'm doing a lecture on Wednesday night that's open to anybody. It's at 7 p.m. at our YouTube web address for Common Purpose. And that's on voting during coronavirus. I'll be talking about voting during coronavirus. Then I'm also going to add two more lectures early May, so 3 weeks from now, that are going to be about voting rights and the longer arc of struggle and how we fit in the middle of that as well. I definitely am feeling that the Dems, partly because they've been strategic on this, but largely because of grassroots or strategic organizations like ours are going to win on these vote by mail and in-person voting things that that we're actually making really good progress. We're on our advocacy initiative. Two of our 27 states have already moved the way we want them to move, and I think there's going to be more.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a big, you know, I kind of, it was one of those things that this morning I was really just energized about hearing about
sure.
for the first time. And that's what we want to deliver on these three things episodes is something that, something to give you a little hope.
Yeah, well, just take Pennsylvania for a quick second. Pennsylvania not only has not had absentee balloting in any, they've had what's called excuse required absentee balloting, so they've only allowed it for a very small number of people. They also have not had any, they don't still, any in-person early voting. So it's been a state where it was all down to one day, essentially, one day. That's a massive change from 2018 that we have now. So that alone will help. Okay, I'm going to go to three. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. No, I was just going to say that that the in-person early voting thing is a huge piece that I think the Dems were talking about it this week too. Perez was talking about that it's mail-in balloting is great, but it's one piece in an ecosystem of expanded voter. Opportunities that should be instituted across the nation.
Yeah, I want to come back on a future podcast. You and I do an even deeper dive on kind of voting reforms for 2020 because in-person voting needs to be on the table in a significant way. You can't walk away from it. All right, number three for me is I did have one follow-up question. So the Wisconsin team, are you putting into place a set of plans then for travel from like in that July 4th to election day window, you know, if we're able to go, is that part of what you're going to talk about tomorrow?
We've got loose plans. Everyone's got loose plans, right? It all is so, it feels like it's so far in the future and really out of our control. But we do have our hotel that we had contracted with, and then we couldn't go. They are so excited about us coming. This hotel chain that I will not name them because I don't think they're supposed to be this excited.
Oh, right. Sure. But
they are so excited for us to come that they've asked for a window. And they've already held our hotel reservations for our entire team for the week before election day.
Oh man, I'm totally just realizing that when we travel and as we have our carbon offset, so we're definitely are always mindful of that. But when we travel, we're going to be part of rebuilding the economy.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, like us bringing that many rooms and saying that we have that many rooms, that's a big deal. And then, you know, for them, they know that we're going there to knock on doors. They offered to throw us a reception when we arrive. They gave us favorable rates, and they're really behind our entire effort. It was really interesting. Coming from a national chain, but it was, you know, it shows where we are as a country.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel good about that, about being able to travel. I assume we're going to get some in, if not a bunch. Okay. All right. Here's my third thing. Is that so? When I go out for these walks, and I go out for these walks every morning, it's part of my pattern and my routine. And I walk about 4 or 5 miles for each walk. I pass businesses, I pass homes, many bus stops, all kinds of things. And the number of places where there's some kind of message that's there. In the home, in a window, on a sidewalk that's been chalked by children, I assume. In businesses, on the windows, all of that. It's just really interesting, and they're all almost to a single. Everyone is a message about our nurses and our doctors and our medical people, our frontline folks.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we're with you. So, or not just them, actually. The all of the delivery people from the mail.
Delivery people.
Mail
to,
yeah.
PS right? folks under attack.
Yes.
Right now. Yeah.
And so, you know, in moments of tremendous crisis and fear and uncertainty, you know, the messages that we attempt to live out and how we live them out become incredible models for each other, first of all, and then for our younger people, for our kids, right? And so it's, to me, there's a third thing, the third thing that kind of I'm fired up about is just the way in which we are putting the spotlight in these kinds of messages on the people who are doing such noble endeavors for the good of our society. And so I've been inspired by these folks already, and I've talked about them in a previous podcast. But in this case, what I mean is the kind of stepping up around the communications that we have as a society for upholding these individuals as our models. And you said before, you know, that's you totally agree with this, but you're also like, it's really sad that we have to have such heroes. That's totally true. But I also think psychologically it's woven deep, deep, deep into our evolutionary course that we seek those heroes too. All right. And to me, this is a moment where we're selecting the right ones, that we're picking an Anthony Fauci instead of Donald Trump. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It is, I think, yeah, daily there's a new story out about how tough it is for them. And it's something that you can't imagine. I think a regular, you know, ER doctor or somebody they already have a job that I couldn't imagine myself doing. And to have it be to a point where to them there's breaking point, it is, you really feel for them. And you see, like, some of them will go on Twitter and they'll tweet out their day, and they come home from work just like we all used to their families and their children and stuff, and then they get back out there and they do it again the next day. And it's wild. It is, you know. I thank them. if you're listening right now, I thank you. We thank you. Yeah, I wish there was more that we could do. And there is more that we could do, actually. There is more. We could lobby Congress for more compensation for these folks. We could get people elected who will enact laws that ensure that these people are supported financially, that their mental health and well-being are something that we don't take for granted after this crisis. There will be a fallout in that industry after this, as people suffer from PTSD after going through this. And we've got to remember to support them. But the way that you do that at a scale that is as big as America is you do it with the US government. You don't do it through Bill Gates. You don't pray that Jeff Bezos is going to have a heart and put together a program. You build it through the government. You pay your taxes and you elect people that will put these people first. That's how you solve the crises in this country. So that's the work that we do.
Yeah. So as one example of how we as an organization could have a direct impact on this, one of the candidates that we will support will be in the Kansas Senate race, the Kansas State U.S. Senate race. She is running for an open seat. The Republican there, incumbent, is retiring, and the seat is open. and her name is Dr. Barbara Beaulieu. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Beaulieu is a medical doctor. And do you know that there's only a handful of actual medical doctors in Congress? All right.
I know. We've got one. We've got one here in Washington.
Yeah, you're right. Dr. Kim Schreier. Right. Yep. And so we need more of those folks. We need those folks who represent the diversity of America, the teachers, the healthcare workers, right? The front lines folks. So, you know, Beaulieu is in a state that has been more Republican, but has started to swing Democratic. The Dems won the governorship and in Kansas 3rd, Sharice Davids won in 2018. And there's a really good chance. We've got a really good chance in the Senate race there. So here's a hands-on way to kind of bring Congress and the Senate with one, another woman. We need greater women in leadership, and two, a doctor.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
All right. Okay. What else? Is that it?
With that. No, with that. Now I just want to get back to work.
Yeah, let's get back to work. Exactly. Yep.
Let's do it, man. Happy all right. Monday.
Yeah, let's go. See you, everybody.